Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Final hour on this Wednesday, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Talking some Titans here to start the hour. We will talk Preds towards the end of the show. Predators back at home tonight, taking on the Carolina Hurricanes, and they've won 7 out of 10. So excited to talk some Preds, who also have a new owner in Nick Saban. We'll get into that too. But the Titans coming off another loss, but Cam Ward has shown some growth, at least statistically, the last couple of weeks. Back-to-back weeks with multiple passing touchdowns. He had not had any through the first 12 weeks of the season. So with Cam Ward, you have to look at some of the things that have gotten better. The completion percentage is going up.
He's almost to 60.
He's getting the ball in the end zone, which was a big issue, especially in the red zone early on in the season. They could not score down there. They've done that more consistently. But there's obviously a lot of red flags, and the biggest one has reared its ugly head twice in a big way the last 2 weeks, missing two wide-open touchdowns outside the numbers down the field.
Well, the most important thing is points on the board. In 3 of the last 4 weeks, they put 24 or more on the board. That is the most important thing. And, you know, some of that is the improved run game. You know, some of that is, you know, a higher completion percentage. They're giving him easier, shorter throws to complete. That's another reason you have fewer sacks. They have one sack in the last 2 weeks. They're not taking so many deep shots down the field where he's got to set up and throw and,
right,
you know, because they're not built for that yet.
And he has made a conscious decision, it seems, to not hunt the deep shot as much.
No.
If the check down's open, hit the check down.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been pounded into him pretty good. Because there are times now where you're like, okay, it may have gone too far the other way.
Right. I saw TD had a tweet after, I think it was on the drive where he missed the Van Jefferson throw, late in the first half, where, you know, takes the snap, Tajay Spears releases into the flat, and he just hit him immediately. But if he had looked downfield, Chim Dike was actually releasing into some space open over the middle of the field.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where the pendulum probably has to swing back a little bit, and he's got to find the right balance of, yes, you don't want to consistently hunt deep balls when you have stuff open underneath, but you got to be able to take the open shots when you get them.
But that was a first down play, I think.
Yes.
And that's a good play on first down, in my opinion.
You know,
and I understand.
Take what you can get,
You want to get things moving forward, because they were starting that drive on the 40-yard line.
Yes, they kicked the ball out of bounds.
Yeah, they didn't need a huge shot to get that thing going. And now I agree with if he's open, but I totally understand why that play was there, and you know why you give it to Tajay and you give him a chance to run out of bounds and all that stuff.
Right.
So yes, but yeah. So maybe it has swung a little too far, but it needed to swing. It needed to swing.
Early in the season, he was passing up way too many open receivers because he thought he could get a bigger play downfield.
Yes, and you know, so you're seeing better pockets. You're seeing him get rid of it faster. I feel like I say this every week. There's somebody I follow on Twitter who's one of those quarterback guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was commenting on how the Titans coaching staff is doing a better job of giving Cam more shorter, easier passes to complete. And we're not talking about the balls behind the line of scrimmage to Chim Dike that drive us all crazy. It's more of the releases to the running backs. It's more of the throws to the tight ends, because we are seeing the tight ends' usage increase a little bit. I'd like to see it still increase more.
Yeah.
They're their two leading receivers. 45 and 41 catches. Okay.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, but they're, you know.
But, right. Who else are you going to throw it to?
Yeah. And, you know, you look at the leaps Drake May and Caleb Williams have made, and you look at, you know, their weapons are pretty good now. All right. And, you know, I brought this up to you, I think, before the show. Cam Ward has 11 touchdown passes this year.
Yeah.
Nine of them are to rookie receiving targets, wide receiver, tight end. Nine. One is to a veteran receiver, Van Jefferson, who was supposed to be the four on this team.
At best, maybe even the five.
Okay.
Because you had Tyler Lockett at the beginning
of
the season,
too. And you had Bryce Oliver as well.
Right.
And then one of them is to a defensive tackle. So That's zero to Calvin Ridley, zero to Tyler Lockett, zero to Chig Okonkwo. Okay?
Yep.
Which I don't quite understand. You know, oh, I'm sorry. I one of them is to David Martin Robinson.
Right.
So it's 8-2. It's not 9-1.
Right.
All right. I was off by one there. And David Martin Robinson's a second-year player.
Yes.
And so he's not throwing to Stephon Diggs and Hunter Henry and even Austin Hooper.
Or DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, Colston Loveland,
Cole Kmet, or DeAndre Swift.
Right.
You know, and that's not making an excuse for him, but I'm just saying the two things are not even.
No.
And so if you can get some better weaponry around him that actually stays on the field, you know, that's going to help him as well next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are things in the offseason he clearly has to fix. And deep ball accuracy being one of the things at the top of the list, and footwork being the other. And those two things are probably married to a large degree.
Yeah, he clearly threw off his back foot on that throw to Van Jefferson.
He's wide open.
Yes, that was one of those plays you cannot miss, and you cannot miss as badly as he did. Mm-hmm. If I said it earlier in the week on Monday, same thing I said with Jim DK last week. If he has to dive to make the catch, or if he, you know, slows down and somebody tackles him, that's fine. Like, mm-hmm. It's not great. It should be a touchdown, but bare minimum, it has to be complete.
Yeah.
You've got to give him a chance to go get the ball.
It's like the DK ball the week before. He could have punted it to him.
Right.
Yeah. If you just throw it, if put some air under it in the vicinity, he's going to catch it.
He's going to catch it. Now, a perfect throw, it's a touchdown.
Yes.
But a good enough throw, it's a 30, 40-yard game.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think the throw was out of bounds.
It was out of bounds, and it was beyond the white. The Van Jefferson one.
Yes.
The Chim one was maybe a little bit closer.
Yeah.
But the Van Jefferson one was so far off that Van didn't even jump for it.
It
was nowhere close, and that cannot happen. That is a throw that NFL quarterbacks have to be able to make.
Yes. And so, you know, they've got to complete that. You know, that makes it a 17-17 game at halftime.
Right.
Are the Titans still going to beat the 49ers? Probably not.
No.
But, again, you're talking about progress. You're talking about the way, like I say, how are you playing, the way things. If he completes that pass, our narrative of Cam Ward in this game is completely different.
Yeah.
Because as it is, he was okay. He was okay.
Yeah, he wasn't a disaster.
I mean, he's got to complete that pass. He put 24 points on the board. There were too many three and outs. He has given up on running the football again,
yeah,
which I do not understand. Because with them running the ball better, they weren't in third and 15 all day. They had third and six. Like, I think I saw a graphic in the second half. I don't know what point in the second half it was. It said Titans' average third and to go was 6.6 yards,
which is way better than it was. I remember through 5 or 6 weeks, I think their average third down was like 8.9 or something like that.
And so you're in third and six. You're in position to run the ball as the quarterback. I just need to go get 6 yards.
Right.
You saw Brock Purdy do it. I mean, Brock Purdy had a hell of a day throwing the ball, but he also used his legs.
25-yard scramble.
To move the chains. And so once again, you know, I could bring up the numbers, but they're drastic. I mean, he's only run the ball. He had those two games where he ran it big, and he's run it like one or two times per game since then.
Yeah.
He's just again, become reliant. Now, maybe teams adapted and put a spy on him. I should back off and say I don't know if teams changed the way they defended him.
Good point.
But it doesn't even look like he looked for it in this last game. So I don't know.
Cam Ward, back-to-back games, multiple touchdown passes, but back-to-back games again, missing a wide-open receiver. And the deep accuracy, one of the big things that is going to be looked at in the offseason that he needs to improve on. In general, the Titans, their biggest goal this year, their biggest mission this offseason needs to be to develop Cam Ward and put him in the best situation to succeed next year. I came across this clip on Twitter of Tom Brady on Joel Klatt's podcast, and we'll hear that coming up next, talking about why he believes quarterback development has fallen behind the last couple of years and why so many quarterbacks are failing to turn in to franchise quarterbacks. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Next man up.
That was Tom Brady on Joel Klatt's podcast talking about why he believes that quarterback development has struggled over the past few years. So many early round quarterbacks just not turning into the guys that they're expected to be. And I think it's a really good point that these guys, they get a ton of physical development, right? They all have private quarterback coaches. Mm-hmm. Way more physical development goes into these guys than anything back in, you know, the 90s and early 2000s. But I think there is more of an expectation that these guys are kind of ready-made, and you come in and these coaches aren't developing them the way that they need to be ready to be an NFL quarterback.
Well, okay. Every person from the previous generation has always said the next generation is coddled and under scrutinized and soft, okay? We had
there
it
you go, yeah. So, Tom Brady back in my day.
Yeah, so there's a level of that. But I'll bring up another layer to this that I am a true believer in. We have changed the person that we're giving the ball to. Back in the 70s and 80s and even the 90s, the best athlete on the team
played running back. Yep.
And then we changed it where we started taking the best athlete on the team, Kyler Murray, and we put the ball in his hands. Go look at Kyler Murray's Pee Wee football video. He's a linebacker, and he absolutely destroys a kid.
Yeah.
And so we started giving the best athlete on the team the football. So, you know, look at Justin Fields. Justin Fields' body is a lot like Eddie George, is a lot like Derrick Henry.
Right.
But now he's the quarterback. All right. And so he's been the best athlete. And now we've just, you know, and I'm not saying that the quarterback can't be the best athlete, but we're not so concerned. And I'm not saying they're all dumb. Don't get me wrong. We're not concerned with the cerebral development with the guys that we're putting in there. We're more concerned with the physical abilities and development, and then figuring out what we can run with those abilities, whether it be RPO, you know, option, you know, rolling him out, you know, whatever. We'll figure it out. But give me the best athlete that you can back there. And you're seeing, I mean, Diego Pavia is a perfect example
right.
of that.
That is not a central casting quarterback from 20 years ago.
No, or from 50 years ago.
Right.
He's 5'9".
And you do see that it works. Like Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
Yep.
Though they would not have played quarterback.
He would have been a wide receiver.
Yeah, Lamar would have been a wide receiver. Josh Allen probably would have been a tight end.
Yep.
Instead, they're both two of the best quarterbacks in the league because they've realized how to use their talents in a specific way to become great quarterbacks. You have to be able to do the same thing with Cam Ward. And that's why finding a good coach for Cam Ward who is able to get the most out of him is so important, because this first year has been almost a complete waste with what he's had around him in terms of development.
Well, and I think when you look at Cam Ward, he's not overly athletic. All right? I mean, he's a decent athlete, but he's not Lamar Jackson.
No.
Not Justin Fields.
No, not at all.
And the other thing is he's been a quarterback since he's been 5 years old. This is what he does.
Yep.
And so, you know, he does watch film. You know, could he learn to watch it better? Maybe. I don't know. But
and that's something that maybe a new coach could bring more insight to is, can you have somebody who can – yeah, Cam Ward watches film. We've heard all the stories of he's the first one in, he's watching film at 5:30 in the morning. But can a coach come in here and show him
something, maybe he
something
didn't
that
see.
He wasn't looking at before?
Yes, exactly. You know, someone who makes it even better.
Right.
You know, he's got – again, these are parts of what Cam Ward that the Titans have pounded the table about is he has the mentality to play this position. He has the will and the desire to play this position. And the other thing which Tom Brady talked about in there, not being afraid to fail in front of 70,000 people, I think that is a very big thing.
Yeah.
You know, we saw with Will Levis, he struggled with it.
Yep.
He struggled
with it. His confidence was completely shot.
Yes. And Cam Ward, through thick and through thin this year, just keeps trudging along. You know, Caleb Williams, you wondered how he was going to get through last year with Chicago. I mean, it was a tough go last year.
Right.
He put up some numbers, but it was a tough go. And now he's got a coach who's got him going absolutely in the right direction. And you see he was able to shake that off. You know, the great ones can have a bad game and come back out the next week and not let it affect him. You can learn from it, but you can't let it. And so I think – you know, from Cam Ward along those lines of what Brady's talking about, he does check a lot of those boxes.
Yeah.
The one box he doesn't check is what he's talking about, you know, throwing the football.
Right.
You know, he needs to throw the football a little bit better, a little bit more accurately, more time. Now, again, he's completing almost 60% now, but there's some meat on the bone, and Cam would be the first one to tell you that. And so he's got work to do. The Titans have work to do around him. And if they both do that work in this offseason, maybe next year you've got something. I mean, he's going to throw for over 3,000 yards.
Yeah.
And again, it's a 17-game season. But Titans don't have a lot of guys who've ripped it up for well over 3,000 yards.
It's very true. And Scott and Waverly on the text line says, I have a question, guys. Do you think that they will bench Cam if they discover in the offseason that he can't complete the deep ball consistently? He's missed several last couple weeks. Is that something that can be taught, or do the Titans have anybody to teach him? First question, no. Cam Ward, as long as he's healthy, will be the starting quarterback in week one next year for the Titans. Yes. I think that's about as guaranteed as you can get. But that is a good question at the end. Is it something that you can teach? Is it something you can fix? I think yes, but you have to have the right coach, and you've got to be able to drill it all the way through the offseason. Because, again, it's not something that can be fixed week to week.
Well, number one, it's timing with receivers. So it's putting in timing with your guys. It's having receivers. Look, a lot of those deep balls are combat catches.
Right.
I mean, look at A.J. Brown with the Eagles. I mean, there's just about nobody better at those combat catches. There's two guys on him, and he comes away with the football.
Yeah.
So you've got to have some of that. Van Jefferson is a perfect example this last week.
It wasn't a good throw.
But he came up.
But it was a catchable throw.
But it was a catchable throw, and he went up, and he made a play for him. And that's what you need. But I will pound the table on this. I would bet that most of his throwing mistakes are footwork-related. That can absolutely be fixed. It just has to be drilled and drilled. And you have to be willing. You have to be willing to be coached.
And
everything I've heard is he's willing to be coached.
Yes.
And he doesn't want to miss these throws.
No.
No, he doesn't. And I don't think he's so arrogant to say, well, it's not my fault I'm missing the throws.
Right.
I'm just going to keep doing it the way I am. He wants to know, what do I need to do to fix this to not miss this throw? And so I think much of that can be fixed by fixing his footwork. And that, you know, that starts at his base. And then, you know, like, here's a good example. A couple of weeks ago in Cleveland, he drops back, he shifts the pocket to the left, and throws a dart to Chim Dike for a touchdown. That was good footwork, and guess what? The ball was right on target.
Yep.
And so, you know, if he has better footwork, and I know PK has talked about this a lot, and he's not wrong, but there's only so much you can do about during the season. A lot of it can be fixed. He may not be Tom Brady, the deep ball thrower, but he can certainly be better than he is now. You know, they had the deep ball to Chim Dike for the touchdown against the Patriots. It was
right
on, he had pocket to throw from. He dropped back. He set up. He delivered. He's just got the fundamentals have to be better more of the time.
Well, and you have proof of concept, the Gunnar Helm throw that he made on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a great ball.
He stepped into that throw, and he put it right where it needed to
be.
Did
you see the pocket?
Right. He didn't have anybody in his face that time. And I've seen people saying it wasn't a good throw to Gunnar Helm. If he doesn't put it there, Gunnar Helm doesn't score.
Well, he also put it away from the defense.
Right. He put it away from the defense so Gunnar Helm could adjust, turn, catch, get up the sideline, and dive for the end zone.
Yep.
It was right where it needed to be.
Yeah. It was a good
so
ball.
It's proof of concept that, hey, when your footwork is good, the ball is more accurate.
When you have a pocket, which he has more of now, which is, you know, and look, he had some heat coming from the left side on that throw, but everybody tell you, you still got to make that throw.
Yeah.
And that's where practice comes in, because you train yourself and you train yourself. And how do your fundamentals hold up when you're under fire?
Right.
Because when they're really ingrained, your fundamentals hold up. Mike Vrabel always had a saying that I really liked when he was the Titans head coach, and that is your culture is what you are when things are at your very worst.
Yeah.
And so, like, as your quarterback, how are your fundamentals when things are at their very worst? Because I think that's important.
And he did have room to step up on that throw to Van Jefferson, but he, you know, I think there's a little bit of arm arrogance from Cam Ward, too, of like, I can make this throw off my back foot, and yep. Maybe the misses the last couple weeks will start to change that.
I think so. I mean, but again, it takes work.
Right. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's quickly go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tim is on the line. Tim, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Y'all were talking about Cam, and you said he has the will and has the want to play. I have the will and I have the want to play quarterback, but I don't have the talent. Now, I'm not saying Cam don't have the talent. What I am saying is, I haven't, and I know he's not getting the coaching, and all this we can't blame on him because it's not his fault, but I don't see a lot of improvement from the first game to today.
Tim, I think...
That's what bothers me.
I think there are a lot of things he has gotten better at throughout the season. Now, has it been enough? No. I don't think there's been some large leap that he's taken this season, but he has gotten better as the year has gone on. He had that game against the Texans in week 4 where he completed 40% of his passes for 100 yards. And pretty much every throw he made was inaccurate in some way. The completion percentage is going up. And he's starting to make better decisions. Yes, there's still a lot to get better on, but he has improved, even if it is just incremental throughout the year.
And the other thing I will say is he don't have much to throw to.
Well, that was one of the points I was going to make, is he doesn't have Calvin Ridley to even throw the football
right.
to anymore.
No, I mean, so that's a lot of it. And the kid is – everything the kid has done, he's done on his own. He hadn't had no help. He hadn't had nobody to teach him or to coach him. So,
I understand the angst with this coaching staff, but Mike McCoy has worked with a lot of good quarterbacks. Bo Hardigree's been in the league a long time. You can say this isn't the best coaching staff. He's gotten coaching. And Mike McCoy has clearly changed what the expectations are for the offense and for Cam Ward. They have shortened up a lot of the throws he's making. He's not making nearly as many deep throws, and it's why you're seeing him completing more passes. It's why you're seeing first down be more successful with the team. It's why you're seeing one sack over the last two games. Those are improvements.
It is. But then, if that's the case, you need to do more of that.
Absolutely.
Put him in better situations so that he can be better.
Well,
and I don't know if the coaching staff is doing that all the time.
Well, and you know, we thought that Brian Callahan was going to be the guy to develop him. And what we found out was Brian Callahan just wanted him to run his stuff. All right? He wanted him to be Joe Burrow. And he's not Joe Burrow yet, and he doesn't have Ja'Marr Chase to throw to.
Now, and I'm scared this next hire we make, if they don't get – and they're going to have to hire a coach that's going to say, yeah, Cam Ward is my coach. Because if they don't, then that's just – well, we screwed up the number one pick in the draft and didn't get somebody. So they're going to have to do it. And this coach, they may have a hard time finding somebody that's going to come in and say, yeah, that we're, you know, because it's put too much pressure on Cam and them.
Yeah, Tim, I don't think that's a problem. There's only 32 of these jobs out there. And, you know, yes, there are going to be some people who don't believe in Cam Ward. And if they're that anti-Cam Ward, they're probably not going to apply for the job. But I would bet 98% of them would be happy to have Cam Ward, their quarterback, to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
Because these jobs do not grow on trees.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Tim.
No, you don't. All right, thanks.
Appreciate it. Yeah, and again, it's not like the Titans were the one team out of 32 who thought Cam Ward was a good quarterback coming out. There are lots of people across the NFL who thought that too. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. I have one more text I want to get to on the Titans, then we're going to talk some Preds. We got a couple more segments here on this Wednesday. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Couple more segments on this Wednesday morning. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Chase and Big Joe are coming up at the top of the hour. A couple news and notes. Titans hitting the practice field in just a couple of minutes. And Mike McCoy speaking. We aren't going to carry that, but Xavier Restrepo and Dan Moore returning to practice today.
Okay.
And Femi Oladejo, Bryce Oliver, and Ali Gay have all been designated to return from IR. So that is a good sign. Maybe we get to see Femi Oladejo back on the field sometime soon.
And I'd like to see Bryce Oliver back out there. I know he's basically a core special teams player, but I wouldn't mind seeing him play some offense for this football team.
I mean, with the group that you have right now, and Xavier Restrepo being back too, that's we saw a flash from him in that Seahawks game. Maybe
you know, it's really after he got hurt, you really didn't hear from anybody.
Yeah, it He was good enough to get another chance on the field, yeah. but I don't think he was good enough that people were super disappointed that he got hurt. It's like, oh man.
Well, I mean, like you don't want anybody to get hurt.
No, but it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, and just as he got going, yeah.
I mean, he wasn't on the team when they scored 31 in Cleveland.
No,
and he wasn't, you know, out there when they scored 24 this week in San Francisco.
Right.
So clearly, it wasn't that they weren't playing Restrepo that was holding them back. It's that they weren't blocking.
Yes.
Okay.
It's funny. The offensive success usually starts with those five guys on the offensive line.
That's why I say I applaud those guys. Whatever happened, them being put in better position, number one, and then doing it, number two. Nobody wants to hear how bad they are.
Yeah.
I mean, and especially those guys, because a lot of those guys have been good players. I mean, Zeitler's been a good player. Cushenberry was the number one center free agent. You know, Skronsky's a first-round pick. Latham's a first-round pick.
Yep.
That's why we were like, how can this group not be better? And I think, again, this is me talking out loud, I think like we've talked about with Brian Callahan wanting to do too much with the offense and his rookie quarterback, I think maybe the offensive line coach wanted to do too much with his offensive line before they were ready.
Yeah.
Instead of building a base and going from there, he just, let's do this.
And this group has gotten a lot better. Yeah. We can talk about that quickly. I do want to mention Jim Wyatt also saying Cedric Gray not practicing today with a concussion.
Yeah, well, he's got a clear protocol.
And Amani Hooker went home sick, so that safety group will be even thinner today at practice.
Well, I mean, the good news is it's Wednesday.
Right. I would assume that shouldn't impact Amani Hooker's ability to play, but
I have seen a lot of that in the NFL for the last month. A lot of guys sick.
Yeah.
I think James Williams was
sick
the
other week.
Yeah,
it's just that time of year.
Well, it's just, I mean, a lot of these guys have kids, and they're in a, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going around.
Right.
And
right.
So yes, better to hear a guy is sick on Wednesday than Friday.
Correct. So. And, you know, we were talking about the offensive line. That five has turned into, I think, a pretty league average offensive line, at least for the last couple of weeks, maybe even above average the last couple of weeks. You only have one sack, and you're opening holes in the run game.
The bigger news about this, Jake, is how it affects next year.
And that's where I was about to go.
Okay.
Is what do you do with this offensive line next year? Do you run it back with four or five of these guys? I know Zeitler's on a one-year deal, so
he's 14 years in.
I would guess you're probably going to move on from him, and that's Jackson Slater's spot. That's kind of been what
you would
a lot of people have expected. I don't know that. But the other guy who you asked the question about, Lloyd Cushenberry. And Adam in Portland asked the question. He says, if you get a chance, can you ask Corey if he thinks Ridley, Cushenberry, or Snead will be back next year? I think it's pretty easy to say no to Ridley, no to Snead.
You would think. I mean, Snead, you really have to sell me on that.
Snead, I think, is almost a definite no. Ridley, I could see an outside shot, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, what's the big plan there?
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, what if you're like, hey, we're going to bring him back as our two. We're going to draft a one.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess if you don't find a guy you like in free agency, like let's say you like Alec Pierce, but he goes somewhere else, and you're not big
on
Romeo Dobbs.
Do you really want to pay $20 million for Alec Pierce?
And maybe that's the thought process is, well, we've got Calvin Ridley that we're already paying $20 million.
Well, and see, that's the thing is you're on the third year of his deal, and the guys have only gotten more expensive.
Yes.
So he's cheaper in year three than those other guys are going to be in year one. Now, if there's the right guy out there, then sure. And I don't know who that is. I don't dislike Alec Pierce, but he's not a one.
No, and that's why if you're going to get a one, you got to draft a one.
Yes.
But I could see Calvin Ridley outside chance coming. I'd lean gone, but there's a chance.
Yes.
Cushenberry's the interesting one.
Well, yes, and you know because you know we've seen when Corey Levin played, things looked a little bit better. But again, this week, Cush played, and they looked
and it looked the same.
They looked pretty good. Cush is coming off of the Achilles, and I brought this up I think last week when we were talking about quarterbacks. How much of a difference have we seen in Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins in year two from the Achilles as opposed to year one?
Yeah,
and so you know, maybe that's the case with Cush. Is you know, he's going to be better in year two coming off the Achilles than he was in year one. And again, the group is performing better. And so you've got $108 million in cap space.
And it's going to get
It's going to get bigger. Yeah. I mean, it's going to get bigger. And so you don't have to cut Cushenberry. I mean, look, you could make it, you could say, hey, we're going to start Slater at right guard this year. And then when Cushenberry's up, we're going to move him over to center.
Yes.
Because I think that's the belief of what's going to happen.
Right.
And I think that, you know, that wouldn't hurt. And you keep Corey Levin on the roster as a backup. So I would lean towards bringing Cush back.
I think I would too, depending on how the last 3 weeks of the season go. If this group continues to show improvement
and that's why it's important
and chemistry, why blow it up when you don't have to? If you can keep four out of those five guys and everybody's playing next to somebody they've played next to before, except for putting Jackson Slater in there, I think that makes your team better next year than having to find a new center.
I mean, look at the job Dan Moore did against Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
I mean, he did pretty well that day.
I mean, I still think Dan Moore will not be the left tackle of the Titans when the new stadium opens.
Oh, yeah.
Next year, I have no problem with Dan Moore being – I mean, not that they can really get rid of him after 1 year, but I have no problem with it being Dan Moore at left tackle.
Well, I don't think they had any intention of getting rid of him after 1 year.
No.
They signed him to be their left tackle for 2 years.
And he's done he's done enough to be able to do it.
And so we'll see what goes on from there. But, yeah, answering – you know, they're starting to give you an indication that they can largely – be the group next year, and I because if you're going to replace the right guard, if you only have to replace one, I think that would be ideal.
Yes,
replacing two, and all of a sudden you're almost half your offensive line you're replacing, and I don't think you want to do that.
I agree. 615-737-1025. Last call for phones. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I have promised some Preds talk, and we will get to that coming up next. Preds starting the homestand tonight against the Carolina
Red
Hurricanes.
Hot!
7 out of 10 for the Preds, coming off a 5-2 win over St. Louis. We'll talk some Smashville on the other side. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Wrapping up the show on this Wednesday, Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. I did promise some Predators talk, a little less than we expected we would get to, but lots of good stuff with the Titans today. For the Preds, they're winners of 7 out of 10.
Yep.
5-2 win on the road against St. Louis on Monday.
14-4 against the Blues. Or 12-4. I'm sorry. 12-4.
Yeah, if you're going with the aggregate.
In the last week.
And they return home for 3 games here in Nashville. This is a team that has revived their season. They lost 11 out of 13 at one point. It looked like things were heading to a spot where you're going to have to likely fire the coach. You're going to trade away a bunch of players at the deadline.
People were talking about firing Barry.
Right. You might clean house and completely just tear it down. And there's still a chance that that happens at some point, right? Like, this could fall back off a cliff, but it's good to see them rebound and find a way to – we were just going through the standings. They are 7 points back of a playoff spot right now.
That's not far.
It's not that far, especially considering – the Sharks have played 2 more games. The Mammoth have played 3 more games. The Blackhawks have played another game. The Blues have played 2 more games. So you have games in hand on a lot of these teams, but you still have to continue this success. It cannot be fool's gold of this 10-game stretch. And I think this is an important week for them. You've got 3 talented teams coming in Carolina, Toronto, and New York. Can you get 4 points this week?
Yeah, you have to get 3. You'd like to get 4.
Yeah.
If you get 4, you're ahead of the 8-ball. I mean, so they've got 14 points in the last 10 games. If they average that the rest of the way, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not asking them to do that. I'm asking them to get 12 points for every 10 games. All right? And you can do that by going 5-3-2, 4-2-4, 6-4. There's a lot of ways to 12 points. But if they can average 12 points for every 10 games the rest of the way, it gets them to 90.
Yes.
And that gets them in the ballpark. And the reason they are winning games right now is not hard to figure out. They are finally scoring goals. They have averaged 4 goals per game in this 10-game stretch. Steven Stamkos has 8 goals.
Yeah, 4-goal game for Stamkos.
And Forsberg had his 12th hat trick last night. So your best players are playing like your best players. I think Luke Evangelista had like an 8 or a 9-game point streak.
Yeah, he's leading the team in assists.
Yes, okay. That's what you need. You need these guys to show up every night, and you need it when they dish it for somebody else to finish it. Matthew Wood has proven he's an NHL player for your hockey team.
Reed Schaefer's looked good.
Reed Schaefer, he scored from the blue line the other night. It was a wild shot. But, you know, you can see they're having fun again. You can see, you know, they're winning. They're putting the pucks in the net. You know, what's the difference? again, you know, you probably get differing answers on that, but I do see Steven Stamkos get the puck in front of the net and score. And, you know, getting the puck is one thing, him being in front of the net is the other.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's about doing the right things. And they're doing the right things now and being rewarded for it. Sometimes you're a little snake bit, but you can't put snake bit on what they were earlier in the season.
Yeah.
They're doing the right things, and they're getting rewarded for it. They've beaten a lot of bad teams, okay? But they weren't beating bad teams before.
And you look at these last 10 games, like, Detroit's in first place. They went to Detroit and beat them 6-3.
That was the first one that got my attention.
That was the one that I think kind of turned things. They had just given up 8 goals to the Panthers 2 nights earlier at home. Yeah. And maybe that was the wake-up call that they needed. And your 3 losses, you know, none of them have been all that close. Like, it's not like you've just gotten it taken away at the last second. But Winnipeg, who won the President's Trophy last year, Carolina's a good team, and Colorado's the best team in hockey right now. All 3 of those games on the road. Like, those are losses that a lot of good hockey teams will still have.
Yeah. And by the way, how competitive were you in those games? You know, was it more competitive than you've been all season long?
Right.
And I would say yes. They lost those games, but they were more competitive in those games than they had been. And again, it goes to how you look that you're playing. How are you playing? And so in each one of those losses, they bounced right back and won again.
They've won 7 out of 10. 0178 on the text line says, interesting Preds odds, 10% to make the playoffs, 9.2% to get the first pick. So they're like right in the middle right now. The two paths are diverging.
Yeah.
Which way do you go?
Yeah, no, and because it could, like you said, this is like I said with the Titans offensive line, you know, from Cleveland to San Francisco, I said, prove to me it wasn't a fluke.
Right.
With the Nashville Predators right now, you've had this 10-game stretch. You've got my attention. Now prove to me it wasn't a fluke. Show me, what are you going to do the next 10 games? I don't need you to win them all. I don't need you to win 7 of them, but I need you to win 5.
Yep. And they've got 3 at home starting tonight before a 4-game road trip. It's a 7 o'clock puck drop tonight over at Bridgestone Arena. 6 o'clock pregame with Max Herz right here on 102.5 The Game. Corey, always a pleasure having you in. We will not do it again next week, so hope you have a great holiday.
Yeah, you know, if I would have known, I would have brought you a gift. But, you know, now I'm not going to see you till after Christmas. So no gift this year, Jake.
Yes, so have a Merry Christmas. We will do it again in 2 weeks, but appreciate you coming in. Tomorrow, Teron Davenport is with us for the full show. We'll have Andrew Allegretta for his weekly visit at 9:30. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.